Carol Marks here at A Touch of Gray, and we're delighted to be talking now to Tricia Brooks from Georgetown University Center for Children and Family Services. And she's an assistant research professor at the Georgetown University Health Policy Institute. And you are involved with getting children and families involved in programs that will help them with their health.
That is correct. I've been spending about 20 years doing that, Carol. I first served as the CHIP administrator in the state of New Hampshire for a number of years before I joined the staff at Georgetown. We're a policy and research center that supports state groups in improving health coverage for children and families.
Well, before the Affordable Care Act, part of which went into effect in 2013, the rest will go in 2014, had you seen progress in the CHIP program for children?
Oh, absolutely. We've seen steady declines in the number of uninsured children over the past 10 years, largely thanks to Medicaid and CHIP. So even though the number of children living in poverty has steadily risen in recent years, we're still seeing progress on kids getting the health care they need to go to school ready to learn.
And one of the things that disturbs me about, the Republican budget is programs that would be cut for children that have to do with nutrition, which is so vital.
Yes, indeed. It's unfortunate that we don't do a better job of keeping tabs on sort of the trends in how much money is being dedicated to ensure the health and well-being of our children. But we certainly don't want to see a trade-off between health and other programs like food assistance and child care that are also important to support working families.
And, you know, when they talk about budget cuts, you really need to have some budget cuts where they can be legitimately taken, and you also need to have revenue coming in. It has to be a two-way street.
Yes, it has to be a balanced approach for certain, and we know that we're not always spending our taxpayer dollars as efficiently as we might, and I think that it's incumbent on all programs and all services to run efficiently, but we also know that the American people very much value providing for our children, and particularly those that are low income and more vulnerable.
And how important is Head Start? Because it's been talking about cutting funding for that, too.
I think Head Start is really essential for making sure that kids are ready to go to school and learn. And for those children that are living in, troubled households that aren't getting the kind of support from their parents, learning to read early, or who have developmental delays, Head Start's really important to get those kids on the right track.
Now, when it comes to the Affordable Care Act, what are some of the things in there that you see that are going to help low-income families and their children?
Well, the biggest piece and probably the biggest decision that states face right now is whether to take the federal dollars that would enable them to extend Medicaid coverage to low-income parents and also to parents or other adults who don't have children in the home. So that's a really critical piece of the vision of the Affordable Care Act to move us toward more universal opportunities for coverage in this country. And what we've seen, we now have about 20 states that have stepped up to the plate and recognized that this is a really good deal for the states, and we're certainly hopeful that as governors and legislatures look at the fact that this is not only the right thing to do to provide coverage for low-income families, but also financially a good deal for them, that we'll see more states moving in that direction.
Because the federal government is going to pay for a good part of expanded Medicaid. You know, what I kind of see, and I guess I'm free to say it, that, well, the expansion of Medicaid has become a political decision, not a policy decision to actually help families and children.
Yes, and unfortunately it's become very divided ideologically, but it is too soon to cross any state off the list, and when you have states like Arizona, Governor Jan Brewer changing her mind and realizing this is a good deal, I think we've got hope for the other
states. A wonderful example of somebody to do that.
That's exactly right.
She is. And what else about the Affordable Care Act's new provisions that will go into effect in 2014 that people don't know about that will help families? Because America is all about families, and children are our next generation. We want to raise a wonderful generation that can make our country even better.
Well, the what's already in place is the fact that insurance companies cannot continue to discriminate against children who have an existing health condition such as asthma. Something as simple as asthma that can be very well maintained and controlled by virtue of having ongoing medication and reduce health care costs in the long run. Up until the Affordable Care Act was passed, insurance companies could deny providing insurance to those kids. They can no longer do that. Another piece of the Affordable Care Act is that children who are aging out of the foster care system, who don't have the family to support them as they become young, independent adults, will also be able to continue to access health coverage through Medicaid until they reach the age of 26. So that's another good thing for children that are turning into young adults.
And it gives them a chance when they get out of foster care system to get a little bit more knowledge, some learning, some training, and then go on to hold a job, which will enable them to get into health exchange and purchase some health insurance. So I think that is just a great thing. What you do every day, what you feel most passionate about?
Well, I am very passionate about making these programs work really well. So what we know is that paperwork barriers have been a real issue for families getting enrolled and staying enrolled. And one of the great things about the ACA is that it provides new resources for states to improve their technology systems and to use data matching with electronic sources of data so that a family doesn't have to come in and apply in person. They don't have to bring in a bunch of pay stubs to prove their income. We're going to use technology to do that for them. So that's very exciting. It's challenging and demanding work, but that will not only serve families better, but it will also make government far more efficient.
And on a day-to-day basis, you mentioned that it's challenging. What's the biggest challenge?
I think time is now the biggest challenge.
You know, you need 26-hour days, I guess.
Well, we've got 8 months until open enrollment starts, and some states got a late start. So I think it's going to be full steam ahead over the next 8 months. But I'm optimistic we'll get there. And even if there may be some rough spots along the way, over time we'll make those systems work even better.
And, you know, even mistakes that we learn all the way, that's the best thing to learn from mistakes, and that's how we learn the most. So I want to thank Tricia Brooks from Georgetown Child and Family Services that she works with to see that Medicaid is something that is available to the families and children that need it. Thank you so
much.
Thanks,
Carol. Thanks for having me.